Today on The Journey.
When there is unhealthy pride about my appearance or relationships or intellect or possessions or my position, I've crossed the line from a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving to the dark and sinful side of pride.
There at the narrow border between obedience and disobedience stands the shaky attitude of pride. And without careful support from God and His Word, it can quickly topple into enemy territory. So just ahead, Ron Moore is coming to offer scriptural warnings about the things that cause your pride to lean in the wrong direction. Also, along with today's message, we want you to have a copy of Ron's book, Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step spiritual journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the story of the Tower of Babel on the journey.
I want to address the subject of building towers. In one word, the subject of pride. Pride is an insidious infection. And self-evaluation is very difficult. In fact, one person has written, "Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the person who has it." In our series, God Speaks, we are telling the story of God through the stories of the Bible. And today we come to an Old Testament story, the Tower of Babel. So take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 11. And what I want to do today is to read through this story. Let's get it in our mind. And then we'll go back and work our way through the story. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used the bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they may not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. For there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." Now, just to make sure we're on the same page, I want to start with a general description of pride. Pride is my selfish inclination to do what is best for me at the moment. On one side of the spectrum, pride includes my inclination that can come across very boastful and very arrogant. On the other end of the same self-absorbed spectrum of pride, I can come across very humbly. Some people are very humble and proud of it. Wherever pride is on the continuum, it focuses on me, what's best for me at any given moment, no matter what happens to those around me and no matter how this reflects on the person of God. Pride reigns when I ignore how my decisions impact other people, because pride makes no allowances for others. Pride is the driving engine in my heart and in my life when I highlight my self-importance over everything else, because you see, pride is all about me. I read a story this week about a guy who was the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He was driving with his wife, and he pulled into a service station to get some gas. When he came outside from paying for his gas, he saw his wife talking to the service station attendant. And it turned out she knew this service station attendant from high school. In fact, they used to date each other before she met her eventual husband. So the CEO got back in the car and drove in silence for a while, and he was feeling pretty good about himself, and he looked at his wife and said, "You know, honey, I bet I know exactly what you're thinking. I bet you're thinking you're glad you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not that service station attendant." And she said, "You know what? It's not what I was thinking at all. I was thinking if I had married him, you'd be a service station attendant, and he'd be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company." Now, to be fair, there are some things we need to be proud of. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says, "I have great confidence in you. I take pride in you." Paul was talking about the Corinthians and the things that were going on in their life. And certainly there are things in our life we're proud of. We're proud of our children. I'm not a real emotional person, but when I start talking about my kids, I can get teary-eyed pretty quickly. We should be proud of our spouse. In the right sense, we are proud of our relationship with Christ. But healthy pride always leads to humility and thanksgiving. Now, here's one dangerous thing about pride. Pride is something that always lives right on the border between healthy emotion and sinful emotion. Pride lives right on the border of a healthy sense of self-worth to sinful self-absorption. Pride lives right on the border of, "Thank you, God, for all you've given me, and look what I have accomplished." Pride lives right on the border of thinking, "Thank you, God, for working in the lives of my children," to, "My kids are better than everyone else's kids." It's always right on the border. And when pride is turned inward, it is like a hook in your heart that drags you across a border into a land of selfishness and vanity and narcissism and boasting and putting others down so you build yourself up. In a land of sinful pride, I am jealous of others and I'm jealous of their accomplishments. I am envious that others seem to have accomplished what I don't, or they have something that I don't. And I'm constantly yearning for recognition. In this land of sinful pride, I live a miserable life of insecurity. When there is unhealthy pride about my appearance or relationships or intellect or possessions or my position, I've crossed the line from a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving to the dark and sinful side of pride. The psalmist says it this way: "In pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous, it seems. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He says to himself, 'Nothing will shake me. I will always be happy. I'll never have trouble.'" No room for God. Self-security. But that's always false security, isn't it, when it's without God? Now, with that understanding of pride, let's go back to Genesis 11 and work our way through this passage. Look at verse 1 again. The whole world had one language and common speech. The entire world spoke the same language and they spoke the same dialect. And there was one problem with that. They were filled with pride. Now, the first thing we see in this group is this: pride leads to decisions and acts of disobedience, always. Look at verse 2. "As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there." Now, that seems like a rather innocent verse, doesn't it? Until you look back at Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, and you see the instruction that God gave this group. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers and fill the earth. God had just destroyed the earth with flood. And now he tells Noah and his wife, his sons and his wife, to go back and fill up all the lands that had been destroyed. Go fill the earth. And here we have this group of people saying, no, this seems like a nice plane to me. Let's settle here. God says, go, and they find a spot and settle. Pride leads to decisions and acts of disobedience. Remember, pride is my inclination to do what seems best for me, regardless of what God wants me to do. Pride at base is rebellion against God. When you're doing only what's best for you, there is absolutely no way you can obey God's word. When you're doing what's best for you, when it's all about you, when you're building your own towers, how can you obey Philippians chapter 2, when we are told, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That conflicts and contrasts with pride. When pride saturates your heart, get prepared for a snowball effect of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, for I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. I fear that there may be quarreling and jealousy. See the snowball. And outbursts of anger and factions and slander and gossip and arrogance and disorder. Look at Genesis 11, verse 3. Here we see that pride is bolstered by our own ingenuity. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Now, here's why they did that. Because in Shinar, look at the end of that verse, they used brick instead of stone and tar instead of mortar. They didn't have any stone there. And they wanted to build a city. They used their ingenuity. And so with these bricks, they could now build buildings. And they found tar in the area so they could hold the bricks together. They were resourceful. Man today is ingenious. In the fields of technology and medicine, it seems there is no end. It's amazing. I speak to very intelligent and successful and resourceful people. You have the power to create wealth and learn and teach and continually grow and better yourself. And that's a tremendous strength and a great weakness. Because we can easily forget that God is the one who gives us everything. And when we build our own towers, and we're encouraged to build our own towers, and we get rewards for building our own towers, then we're infected with pride. Whatever pride looks like from the outside, on the inside, it is motivated by my desire for recognition and security. Pride is motivated for my desire to have others acknowledge what I've done and my own desire for security. Look at verse 4. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Here's why. So that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. Now, we know as Christians that in our lives, we are to live to glorify God, to make a name for Him, to make His name famous. Jesus even said, do good things. Let your light shine before men. Matthew chapter 5. Let your light shine before men. Do good things and do them in such a way that people will see those good things. And because of your life, they will praise your Father in heaven. But pride desires that the credit goes to me. Pride says, I want the recognition for this. This group in Genesis 11, they want to make a name for themselves. They wanted recognition. So do we. We want people to know it's our idea. That I thought of it. That I created it. That's what I built. Here's a trophy I won. See them on my wall? Check out my awards. Check out my accomplishments. And right along with this sense of recognition really gets to the heart of it, security. Or at least a false sense of security. Look again at the end of verse 4. Let us build a tower that reaches to the heavens. They're using hyperbole here. They know they can't build a tower that reaches to the heavens, but here's a statement of confidence and strength. So that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. You see, that's really what I don't want to do. I don't want to be scattered. I want some security. I want to build a tower so that I can be secure there. I want to build that tower so that I can look back and see that thing really makes me secure. It's that position that makes me secure. It's that money that makes me secure. It's that relationship I have that makes me secure. I want to build that tower for security. I don't want to be scattered. That's scary. I want to come back and know who's around me, and I want to make sure that I gain my security from that. Now, I get in trouble for saying this, but it's never stopped me before, so I'm going to say it again. You should vote. But if your trust is in whoever wins the next election, it is false security. Some trust in governments. Some trust in armies. Some trust in their own ingenuity. Some trust in their own towers. But for the Christian, we realize those things can be gone like that. So we trust in the name of the Lord our God. A couple other things here. Pride in numbers is a recipe for evil. Look at verse 5. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. Now, God didn't have to come down. Obviously, He is sovereign. He's using language so we can understand. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now, God is not saying that man on his own can become God. They can do anything. He's saying that if this little group of people here speaking the same language have garnered themselves together to do this rebellion against me, then pride in numbers, it could really get bad. And we see that in countries through history, Nazi Germany. Rebellion against God in numbers is dangerous for the whole world. So God says, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Let us confuse their language so they cannot find security in that tower. Let's confuse their language so they can't find security in themselves. You know, I don't know what God's doing in your life, but He may be bringing some confusion in your life right now. And He wants to remind you it is not about the towers. Get away from the tower. It's about me. It's about Him. Because pride in numbers, success over a long haul, can be very dangerous. Recipe for evil. So God confuses things. He turns some things around in our lives sometimes just so we won't depend on what we had been depending on. And then we remember it's all about Him, after all. One more thing. God always deals with pride. Look at verse 7. Come, let us go down. Confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth to reduce the potential for evil and a sinful world. So how do you deal with pride in your heart? Self-examination is so hard. How many of you are familiar with a man named Hezekiah? The story is told in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 27. Now, here is a man who built some towers. Listen to this. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor. And he made treasures for his silver and gold and for precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of valuables. He also made buildings to store the harvest of grain, new wine and oil. And he made stalls for various kinds of cattle and pens for flocks. He built villages and acquired great numbers of flocks and herds, for God had given him very great riches. If you remember the story, Hezekiah was sick. And he prayed that God would heal him. And God said, Hezekiah, I'll give you 15 more years. And when the other kings went to see that he was well and to visit him, you know what he did? He didn't give the glory to God like he should have. He said, here, let me come and show you all these things. You see these pens? See all my riches? God had given him back his health, and he didn't even acknowledge it. And when those kings came, instead of saying, I'm alive today because of God, I have all these things because of God, he said, here, let me take you on a little walk through all the things I've done. Verse 26, God confronted Hezekiah. Then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come upon him during the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah repented of his pride. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to take some self-examination to say, you know what? My heart really is full of pride. I can't continue building my own towers. If I do, that's not the road that's going to get me to the place where God wants me. Are you willing to deal with pride in your life? Are you willing to deal with the towers that you're building? When we talk about pride, it's easy to look at everybody else. Remember, it's that disease that makes everyone sick, except us. But are we willing today to really evaluate our lives, to really determine who we're living for? Is what we are doing pointing people to God or ourselves? Are we building towers and gaining recognition and security from those towers? I ask that you truly evaluate your heart as I do mine and determine if we're building towers for ourselves or if our security is really in the Lord our God.
And please stay with us. Just ahead, Ron returns with a look at our next time together. First, a word about our offer of Ron's book, Ignite. In its pages, he leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
When God tests us, he asks us, what are you willing to give up for me? What are you not willing to give up for me? Whatever he calls you to do, are you willing to do? You willing to give God your best?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount. You can order it online at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. We also invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.